Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
No, I mean, well, you want to see field goals made. I mean, it's we all want to see that. He knows that. So we got to, again, you're in a game like this and it's a defensive battle and points are at a premium. You want to be able to make those kicks. And I kind of look at it, too, to start the game. We've been struggling with drives, getting going, and we finally got a couple first downs. And now, you know, it might not sound great, but we're in position to kick a field goal to start the game and we missed it. And it's just, you know, those are the ones that I really wish we could have.
Matt Nagy talking after the game about Eddie Pinheiro's misses from 49 and 47 in between. That was on the first and third possessions of the Bears, both of which they drove into Rams territory down inside the 35. On their second possession, they drove to the 29, and Nagy chose to go on fourth and 10 rather than letting Pinheiro try another 48-yarder. So, again, something that I'm sure there will be plenty of discussion about, Pat.
Yeah, it just you talking specifically the one they went for it on?
On the second possession, after he missed the original 49-yarder at fourth and 10, he went for it instead of letting him come out and kick.
And he says he has ultimate confidence in his kicker. Before halftime, he had said that. You got to go for the points there. I think you give the kid a chance to go back out there during that situation to see if he can do it. And if he misses it, so be it. I think the chances of him missing it are, well, now they're just as great as them not converting that fourth down. But it's just the entire team right now is not good at all.
Yeah.
The best thing about this team is the punt team. And I'm glad they're good because they're doing it a lot.
Well, then you go back to the punt team. Okay, let's talk about the punt team. All right. You come out and you have a punt almost blocked. They get a 5-yard penalty.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Instead of moving it up so that it's, you know, fourth down and 1 yard to go, they, you know, decline the penalty.
Mm-hmm.
From a special teams guy,
yep.
What does that say to you?
It speaks more to me, the team, of not trusting your team, of maybe trying to go out there and do the fake fourth and one play, try to get them to jump off sides. But I think they were scared a little bit of the punt rush of the Rams. They're very good at it. I think they have two or three already blocked. They have blocked this year. Pat O'Donnell got a 48-yard punt off, which was good with no yards returned, so it was a 48-yard punt. If you take that 5 yards, do you still take it? I would like a 43-yard net. That's winning in the punt game. If you get a 40 yards or greater in the punt game is winning. Some of the guys are better now, but you basically get a 48-yard, well, if you take that 5 yards, you get 43-yard field position change. And I think that's kind of Matt Nagy just being safe in that situation, going against a very, very good punt rush team. But Matt Nagy always says, be you.
Right.
And we haven't seen him be him all year until last year against the Lions on the 4th-and-1, where he went for it and got it, and they went down and scored, and that kind of changed the ballgame. It just seems he's been very conservative with this team and with the way they're playing right now.
Mitch Trubisky is speaking to the media as we visit here. Unfortunately, our producer, Mike Chen, is doing like three guys' jobs at once. He's trying to keep us going. He's trying to see if he can get some of that sound for us as well. So we will let you know if and when we have some of that. But Mitch is talking, and so we will at least have some further information, whether it's clarity or not, I don't know, but we will let you know when we know more. Right now, we're going to jump back out to the phones and welcome in Ken, who is in Downers Grove. Ken, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Why aren't we moving Mitch out?
rolling out. I mean, clearly that's where he's best. Nagy doesn't seem to understand it. I just find that he's completely missed who Mitch is. And, you know, I've said it numerous times, but I just believe that Matt Nagy is a fraud. I don't believe that he has any capability to actually call plays or understand where the game is at. There's no confidence in that guy at all.
So, Ken, I'm just curious about something. And, you know, I don't know. I'm asking you because I'm curious. You think last year was just a total fluke?
They got lucky
for 17 weeks.
No tape on who he was. Nobody knew who he was going to do, running all those little tricky gadget plays that worked and worked and worked. But there's no solid game plan from Matt Nagy. He doesn't understand how to, on third and one, you know, we're in a shotgun and we're running the short side on a flip. I believe Nagy's a complete fraud as a offense coordinator. I don't believe that he knows what he's doing.
So, Ken, just out of curiosity, let's hear what Kat and Patrick have to say. Thank you for the call. Do appreciate it. Matt Nagy was the number one choice of four teams that I know of the eight who are looking for head coaches at the end of the 2017. And I'm not defending the guy. I don't know what's going on right now, and I don't know if he's going to succeed. But this basic anger that let's just, you know, run the guy down as much as we can and say he has no qualifications, that's really not true. I mean, you know, he's obviously not doing a very good job right now, but I think that what we want to do is have some constructive conversation here, is to figure out, is there any way to make things better? And just, you know, saying that the guy is incapable is really not accurate.
Well, I think people are frustrated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, people right now, everyone has in their mind what the simple fix is for the Bears. You know what I mean? And for everyone to have that in their mind and see it work occasionally, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But not be consistent with it, I think that's the thing that frustrates people so much. You look at what the Rams did today. They came out, they gave a look, they stuck with it as long as they could. Even when it didn't work, they still ran it. Because they knew that the Bears had to put all they could into stopping the run, mm-hmm. which opened up play action for them. You know, we're not talking about the touchdown that got called back to Cooper Kupp.
Right.
You know, that was all set up off of play action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, safety bites up because he thinks they're going to run the ball up the middle. Kupp's 10 yards open in the, you know, in the secondary.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the things that are frustrating people because – You know it works, but you've seen the Bears use it to the point where it works, but they don't use it on a regular basis.
Right. And I think Matt Nagy's season and the way he's called plays is just like the rest of his offense. It's been very inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
They've had some good drives where we've talked about some formation things, play calls have looked very good. And then it's just like the rest of the offense, dropping passes. Not picking up blitzes, not picking up stunts. Mitch not seeing the open receiver, not using the right footwork. They're all inconsistent. I think that's why 9 of these 10 games, the Bears have not gained over 300 yards. That's sad. With all this talent we talked about at the beginning of the year and all this, you know, how they were going to get better and go from 101 to 202 offensively, they've regressed a ton. And so has Matt Nagy. And it's frustrating just to see all this inconsistency.
Hey, but they played better than last week. Maybe we should open up Club Dub again.
I don't know. It's frustrating, and it's heartbreaking
Cat's
to hear.
Still pissed about Club Dub.
Yes. Yeah, he is. Oh man.
Hey, sorry about that.
No. We all agreed with you, man. We were all on the same page.
If that was your locker room, Cat, you would not allowed Club Dub.
Oh,
I was a young player in your locker room, you would have not allowed Club Dub after that game.
You know, guys, here's what I think is happening with Mark Trout.
I'm looking at the text screen
and I've got Trestman popping up here. Guys, man. I can tell you, as someone who lived it every day, we're not even in that universe.
No.
I mean, you want to be upset with Nagy, that's fine, but there's no comparison to Trestman. That's a whole different story that we'll get into at some other time. And then beyond that, the idea that Nagy isn't qualified or doesn't know what he's doing or any of that, that's all just stupid. I mean, the man has forgotten more about NFL offense than anybody listening to this show right now. What I do think is happening, though, is that he is married to this scheme that he learned from Andy Reid and Doug Peterson, and he sees it succeeding with Kansas City and with Philadelphia, and he's made up his mind that he's going to take whatever pain he has to take until it works here. Mm-hmm. And what he's not acknowledging is he does not have the pieces. He doesn't have the tools to run it. And while he is absolutely qualified offensively, he may not be ready to be a head coach because he hasn't got much time left to figure out. You can't just keep taking these poundings and pissing people off and thinking everybody's just going to be patient and wait. Because now, they have nothing at tight end, okay? They have got a huge problem on the offensive line, and they're down to one rookie running back who has taken a beating at this point. This is not going to get better. You can't keep doing the definition of continually making the same mistake as insanity or something like that. I never get the quote right. And I think that's what he's doing right now. He's just being unbelievably stubborn. It's not a question of qualified or not. It all came to him so quickly and so easily last year, and it did. It came out of nowhere. He doesn't realize that he's playing with fire here now because people are not going to tolerate this too much longer.
And the biggest problem, and I'm going to say it, is Mitch Trubisky. When you're drafted number two in the draft, your job is to make everybody around you better. It's not their job to make you better.
Right.
That's what it seems like they're having to do right now. Change the play calling, like what you're talking about, Hub. Change the playbook for Mitch. The O-line has to block better for Mitch. The receivers have to get more open for Mitch. The running game has to get open for Mitch. Instead, those other teams you're talking about are the really good ones with good quarterbacks who were drafted where they were drafted that high. They're making the team better. They're overcoming the lack of talent at offensive line. They're overcoming the lack of talent at wide receiver or drops at wide receiver
because
somehow.
Because of that one piece.
Yes, that one piece is the
that
key.
One piece.
And they're trying to hide the, or this is why it's not working, because the guy who was drafted number two in the draft is not playing to the level he should be playing.
He is the queen on your chessboard, and he's playing like a pawn.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Basically.
Yeah.
You know, Matt Nagy got pissed at me. I think he got pissed at me. It's hard to tell because he doesn't lose his cool, but he's got a really good stink eye. and I asked him, I said, Matt, are you saying that there is no advantage to letting somebody else call the plays, even if it's just for a week or two, so you as the head coach can take a step back and observe the whole game and see everything that's going on? He said, no, just dismissed it immediately. He desperately needs to do that right now, not because he's a failure as a play caller, or he can never call plays again, or he doesn't know offense, because he's the head coach. And he's not acting like a head coach right now. He's not fixing or even attempting to fix some of the things that are wrong with this football team. And I think he is not, again, it was great last year. He was the NFL coach of the year. Happened quick, happened pretty easily. And I just don't think he's learned yet, some of these mistakes that he's now making for a second, third, and fourth time.
Yeah, but is it that last year he didn't have to be the head coach?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He was the head coach / offensive coordinator, and he had another guy on the defensive side that could be a head coach / defensive coordinator. You know what I mean? And this is the first year that he's actually had to come out and be responsible for both sides of the football. And Hub, like you said at one point in time while we were watching the game, there's a lot going on out there in the field. And he was sitting over there on the bench talking to Nick.
He had his head down with Trubisky and I think Ragone. They were in a little coaching huddle over there, and the game was going on.
But he did a little bit of that last year with Vic Fangio.
But that's what I'm saying. At that point in time, he had a guy that was running his
who could still manage the game for him while doing the defense.
Right.
Well, and guys, Chuck Pagano can too. I mean, he's a successful head coach in the NFL. Right. To me, that's not the issue. Chuck Pagano is not the head coach.
Right.
Matt Nagy needs to understand that he is the last line of defense, not his coordinators who can cover for him while he's messing with his offense.
Yeah, but did I just feel as though, when Nagy, his first year, it was established, you know, I'll run the offense, you run the defense.
Oh, they said it. Yeah,
that was, right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And if you come into this year with that same mentality, without the same pieces, it's not going to work the same for you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think we're seeing that not work.
Yeah, and I think they're at a point now that ego's getting in the way. And, Kat, you know this. The egos upstairs in buildings are more than the ones in the locker room for players. And it's probably hard for listeners to hear that, but it's true. Yeah. These coaches have some giant egos, and they just do. And I have a feeling Matt Nagy's ego's in the way. Talking about you, Hub, what you said is he won't give up the play calling.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it succeeds, if somebody else succeeds, that's a huge knock on his ego. He said, wait a minute, this is supposed to be my offense. I'm in charge of this.
But what he doesn't understand is it's also to his tremendous credit being the boss,
right,
and not worrying about his ego.
That's the way he should look at it. That's the way he should look at it. That's the way I see it, and that's the way it should be done. And they're playing so poorly. Try something new. Try it. Why not try it?
This postgame show is being brought to you by your local Ford dealers and the Ford Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears. Ed, James, Josh, everybody else holding. I'm sorry, guys. We're as frustrated as you, and that's why we're yelling at each other here. We're going to take a quick break here and get back to all your calls. We got one line open at 312-644-6767. At least another hour or so, we're going to get to everybody. Stay with us. Back in just a moment right here on The Score.
There's something in the second half on one of the hits I took. Got evaluated at halftime, something in the hip region where I was just trying to keep it loose the second half and be able to make plays for my team. And I just kept getting tighter and tighter in the hip region, and I just couldn't move around like I wanted to. And and I was just throwing with a lot of arm, and I was trying to make plays and stay on the field and fight through, and just disappointed I couldn't finish the game out.
So that, of course, is Mitch Trubisky talking after the game. We have to assume he misspoke because he said something that happened in the second half and was evaluated.
Why do we have
halftime
to assume?
So there's two possibilities. Either we assume he misspoke or he's lying. I'm going to assume he misspoke. I don't know what else to make of it, guys. It's something we're going to be talking about for the next few days. There's a number of possibilities here. They're going to get angry when we start to question it and try and verify. And so, you know, we'll see what happens. This story is going to be ongoing for the next 24 or 48 hours.
But it's just poor on Mitch knowing that everybody's leaning on every word he's going to say. Come out and get the story right. Just be specific to exactly when it happened, to the detail of when you got checked out, and then just leave it at that, and then stop saying hip region 1,000 times.
Maybe he doesn't know what happened.
Maybe they
didn't give him enough instruction.
We can't assume that, Kat.
Right. Maybe they didn't give him enough instruction as to what he was supposed to specifically talk about.
I have a theory on a big part of what's going on with Mitch, but I'm going to save it. We're backed up on calls here. It's not earth-shaking, guys. It's just it's an opinion as we try and figure this thing out.
That's a tease.
I guess it is a little bit of a tease because it's 11:25 and want people to stay up for another hour.
That's
so,
right.
You know, for those who care enough. No, seriously. Right.
They can't go to bed. Yeah, they're still too angry.
I want to hear what it is.
I want to get to some of our callers, and I'll throw it out there. I'm sure it'll come up. Let's get to Josh, who is in Batavia. Josh, how you doing? Josh, you still with us? Looks like Josh might have had to run, which we do understand. I apologize. I kept a few guys hanging. Next up, it is Ed, who's out in Midlothian. Ed, are you still with us?
Yep.
How you doing, Ed?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I wanted a couple points, and it's a good thing you kind of brought things up. But if we make the field goals early, then Kyle Fuller doesn't jump the route late in the game taking a chance. But we keep going, and everybody wants to see how fluent Kansas City and Philadelphia's offense. This is an offense they brought over. Remember, this is an offense that they throw to the tight end 10 or 12 times a game, you know, and we just don't have one. They've got Pro Bowl tight ends. We don't have one. And given the fact we don't have one, you know, we got blockers. We got Holster and Brodiker. Why not just let them block and, you know, and, hey, forget about this fancy thing. go to Mike March type of offense and say, hey, we got three good wide receivers. We're going to throw the ball 45 yards down the field. If it gets picked off, it's a big punt. You know, just like they did. They had Marshall Faulk. We got Montgomery, who makes people miss block, miss tackles. You know, just like Faulk, use him as a safety valve and just attack with the wide receivers and let Brodeker and J.P. Holtz block. Worry about the tight end position because we don't have one.
All right, so Ed, here's the issue with what you're saying, and there definitely is something to it. The Kansas City Chiefs have the best tight end in football at this point in Travis Kelce with Gronk retired. And the Eagles, I think, have the best tight end in the NFC. And there's no question in Zach Ertz. And there's no question how key these guys are to the offense. But, guys, I think the point that we're making is, yeah, you're bankrupt at tight end. We get that. So you can't run everything that is in this offense. Right. You don't just keep running it if you don't have the parts to do it.
Yeah, you can't. You do, and then all the success we've seen and we've talked about for weeks now is out of the I formation, using a little bit more max protection to help this O-line right now because they're not protecting well at all. And then back to Ed's point, just to throw the ball 45 yards downfield, you've got to protect first to let those guys be able to run that far to throw the ball, and they haven't been doing that. So this offense, you can't continue doing what they've been doing. It's not working. Like I said, 9 of the 10 games, less than 300 yards per of offense, and not gaining 300 yards of offense in today's NFL, it's almost kind of hard to do.
Yeah.
But they're good at it. They're good at not gaining
consistent.
It. Yeah, consistent. But you got to change things up. There's no doubt about it. And we've seen them have successful drives, but just not enough. And when they're successful, they do a little bit more max protection. They put a fullback in front of Montgomery. And that's just success. And they keep going back to that, you know, the six-man protection. Five guys up front, Montgomery right to the left of Mitchell Trubisky, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah, this is – I mean, it's ever-changing. You know, offensive play calling is an evolution. You know, you deal with the guys that you have on the field, the 11 players that you have on the field to run a play. And, you know, as the season goes on, as you have injuries, as things occur, you know, a offensive coordinator has to be able to change his plan of attack. And I think that's where people are so frustrated because we're not changing. They're not changing their plan of attack. They change it for a play or for a series. And, you know, then they go right. Then he goes right back to what he knows in his own mind should work. And I think that's where the disconnect is right now.
Yeah, and the greatest coach, arguably, in football ever is Bill Belichick. How many times have the Patriots started out 2-2, mm-hmm. 3-2, and everybody's like, oh, they're not the same old Patriots?
Right.
Well, he figures out who they are, personnel-wise, what they're best at, and the next thing you know, he changes up some things defensively or whatever they need to do to get better, and all of a sudden, they're back to being the Patriots.
Well, and you know, Bill Belichick is the GOAT, so let's not even ask for that much.
That's...
What about his mentor, Andy Reid, who had LeSean McCoy leading his team in rushing and benched him 2 weeks ago to go with Damian Williams because he thinks he's a better fit for what he wants to do. And this is the guy that Matt learned. It's his mentor, right. You know, and Andy Reid does it all the time. Andy Reid is one of the best play callers in the NFL and has given away the duties half a dozen times. He gave them to Brad Childress. He gave them to Doug Peterson. He gave them to Matt Nagy. There's no shame in that. You know, that's the part that I have a hard time getting my arms around is what would be so horrible about trying something different?
Right.
Nothing. That's the greatest coaches. You look at just games, you go into halftime and you make adjustments, right? Well, they have an entire week to make an adjustment and they don't adjust.
Yeah.
And they know their personnel all week, and they know what they're going against, and they still come out and run some of the same stuff, and it's just not working.
So here's the best text of the night, guys. And we got, tell them to be a grown man and tell the truth. Guys, we're in Chicago. They're in Los Angeles. We don't know who's telling the truth. We don't really know mm-hmm. what happened out there. And so I'm not going to indict anybody, but what I love is this text. Why are the Bears running an option on 3rd and 1 with a quarterback with a bad hip?
It's a great question.
That's
what we said earlier. If it did happen in the second quarter, like Mitch Smith spoke about, that he got checked at halftime, and then in the third quarter they come out and run, and the option with him, that doesn't make any sense either.
The only way you could make me hate that particular play call more is if you do it with a quarterback who can't
run. Right.
You know?
Exactly.
And if he did get checked, the way it works us as players, that the trainer is going to go to the head coach and say, all right, Big Cat came in with a quad contusion. He can finish the second half, but he's got this going on. So-and-so's got this. That Matt Nagy knew that. Then he knows his play right. calling should be limited a little bit of having Mitch run the ball.
And Cat even commented real time as we were watching it. I'm going to say he didn't run that play right.
Right.
He didn't attack the line of scrimmage. He didn't stick a foot in the ground and go. Well, maybe it's because he was hurt.
Right.
You know. But again, why would you call that play?
Right.
312-644-6767. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football at Ryan Field when the Wildcats host Minnesota on November 23rd. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. And 312-644-6767. Nothing to do with the Northwestern Wildcats. That's our phone number with one line open if you want to join the conversation. We're going to the south side now and welcome in another James, if I can find the flashing arrow. There it is. James, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're hanging in.
Hey, you know, I hear every week, here we go, another Matt Nagy. Listen, I hear what you guys saying, but you're acting like you got a young Bill Walsh on the sidelines. You can hand the play calling off to. I don't care who calling the plays. The team stinks. Mitch Trubisky stinks. The offensive line stinks. I don't care who you – what happened to the golden boy, Sean McVay? Because the last 2 years, I heard he was the greatest offensive coordinator ever known in the NFL. But guess what? He stinks when his quarterback stinks. Okay? You don't have the pieces. Just like Patrick and Big Cat, you just got through saying about how this is the queen of the chessboard and Mitch is now playing like a second round. No, he's not. I watched the Baltimore Ravens today. As good as their offense is, Lamar Jackson, I saw five or six plays where he should have got stopped in the backfield. You know why he didn't? Because he's a phenomenal athlete. We don't have that missing piece. We don't have that quarterback. We don't have the personnel. I mean, you keep talking about Matt Nagy need to hand the play call. That's not going to help. The problem is Ryan Pace, okay? You got somebody in here. It was his responsibility to have the players that you need, and he didn't do it. I'm trying to figure out how this guy getting let off the hook. He needs to be the person that's being gone after. I'm tired of Matt Nagy getting all the heat. The heat needs to be put on Ryan Pace, okay? Because I don't care who you have calling the plays, this team stinks and they're not going anywhere.
All right, James, thank you. Let's hear what Patrick and Kat have to say about that.
I don't think James is going to sleep for a while tonight. No. And I feel your pain, and I agree with a lot of it. It's everybody in that building when it's going this bad
right.
is not doing a good job. And,
right.
and Ryan Pace is there to blame as well. We were all sold at the beginning of the year that they were going to be better than last year, that these pieces in the locker room, the total 1 through 53, is going to be better. You know, I was sitting here in the same chair saying, with what I see and what I've been told, there could be a Super Bowl in the future.
Right.
You know, if they continue to grow what they did off they did last year, and they're not doing it.
Yeah.
They've regressed. Everybody's not playing well. Everybody.
Last year was one of those years that makes everybody look good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're 12-4. Your defense is, you know, getting turnovers every which way. Your offense is showing progress. And it is the first year in maybe 4 years that you can legitimately say that the Chicago Bears have players on their roster that other players would want on their team.
Mm-hmm.
You come back this year and you expect it to be better than it was last year. You expect the offense to take another step and to get better. You expect the defense to play as well as it did last year. You know what I mean? And this is when the whole team gets tied in, because at the end of last year, the beginning of this year, before the ball was ever snapped, Pace was the greatest thing on earth.
Yep.
Because of all the people that he had brought in.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But now that things are going downhill, you know, now that Hicks isn't on the field, now that Trevathan's not on the field, now that, you know, you have backups trying to fill starter roles, it all falls back on him.
Yeah.
This hour on The Score is brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Experts are predicting a brutal cold and flu season. The number one flu symptom is fever, so use a thermometer proven accurate by more than 70 clinical studies. We can't always predict the flu season, but we can always prepare for it with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Also want to tell you that Papa John's is giving you a free pizza this weekend. You only got about 25 minutes left, I guess. Papa John's giving you a free pizza this weekend. Buy one pizza at regular price and get a second pizza of equal or less value for free. Use promo code FREEPIZZADAY on the Papa John's app or online at papajohns.com. That's promo code FREEPIZZADAY. Find a Papa John's that is open until midnight right now. I just added that part to the read. 312-644-6767. Quick break here. Then Mike, Chris, Robert, Mark, you guys are next right here on The Score.
It was probably two series before we actually did it right in that area just to keep an eye on them. So, and I'm trying, you know, we're rolling with personnels and moving in and out. And so I'm asking too to keep, for guys to keep an eye on them. Coaches.
Y'all know that was the voice of Matt Nagy further explaining. The more they explain, the more confused we get. You know, you'd love to take them at their word, but it was just so perplexing at the time. There was a breakdown in communication, normal communication lines during an NFL game broadcast. Again, never saw Chase Daniel warming up on the sideline, never saw anybody looking at Mitch. You got coaches keeping an eye on him. Wouldn't you have a trainer keeping an eye on him, not a coach? I mean, you know, it just... there's smoke here.
Well, 100%.
Whether there's fire or not, I don't know.
Right.
But there's smoke here.
And if you're keeping an eye on them and you're worried about them, wouldn't you tell Chase Daniel to make sure you stay ready?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Take your hat off, throw the ball a little bit, get on the sideline, maybe take a snap from Cody when he comes out, or just another center just to get, you know, what like they normally do right. In between series.
Yeah. When there's an injury to a quarterback, the next guy up usually starts to warm up.
Sure.
Usually throw, like you said, throws
or will
a few
stay
balls.
Loose, knowing their right. Potential.
Every series know. After, yep. Usually a quarterback, every series after that he's told, be ready,
mm-hmm.
He's warming up.
Yeah.
Because he never knows when he's going to be thrown out onto the field.
You know the scariest part of this, guys, which we haven't even mentioned yet, which is that if there really isn't an injury,
oh boy,
then the explanation is that the head coach just got pissed and had a temper tantrum. Because why else would you put Chase Daniel out there? I mean, it kind of fits though.
Yeah, this kind of sums up the season, doesn't
it? Though, yeah.
This just sums up the season of what's been going on so far, just with the ineptitude of the Bears offense not being able to run the ball, then you know can't pass block, and now they can't deal with the media with the quarterback situation. Is it a benching? Is it not? Kind of sums up the season.
I think next time I put my kids on punishment, I'm going to get one of them big boards and hold it in front of my mouth as I speak to them.
We will continue to dig until we get to the bottom of it. We're getting back to the phone lines right now, and Mark is in Naperville. Mark, we appreciate you staying up with us. How you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm calling because Bears fans are screaming at their TV, calling in, yelling at you guys, texting you crazy stuff. So, Bears fans, here's the deal. It's time to let go of this season. It'll be good for your health. This is a losing football team. It's not going to playoffs. So I just look for some positives in every game. And I've actually got two this week, and then I want to hear your guys' positives. First one is actually Roquan Smith. A few weeks ago, he's out of game. He didn't seem the same ever since then. Well, tonight he actually looked pretty good. So that's actually a relief that we've still got someone we could count on as a solid starter. And then the second one, believe it or not, for a guy who had hip issues, Mitch actually looked, to me, poised. This was probably the most poised, nearly complete game I've ever seen from Mitch. Even the interception wasn't his fault. And this is a guy on a team that leads the league in drops. And we saw a few series-ending drops this game. So I'm not making excuses for him. He's not the answer. We know that. But I guess a small part of me feels bad for him to go out on a game that he actually got the ball out quickly to his receivers and seemed like one of his better games. So in a crazy way, I guess I feel bad for him personally. Anyway, those are my two positives, Roquan and Mitch. What are your guys' positives for the week?
Well, Mark, thank you for the phone call. I will agree with you that it was good to see Roquan Smith play the game he did. It was his best game since his personal issue sidelined him. We do have to hope that this continues now. I think it is doubly significant. It was his first game stepping up since Danny Trevathan went down for a long time, we assume, if not for the season. So you're right. That was good to see. I'll give you another one. I'll tell you, in the first half, Leonard Floyd was everywhere. Not so much in the second half, but he played better than he has in recent weeks. And I thought both safeties were pretty active.
Eddie Jackson, I thought, had a pretty good game.
Eddie Jackson made a mental error on basically what allowed the first touchdown.
Right.
But other than that, he was very active, and Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix was right there with him, scooping up the forced fumble. Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix made a couple big sticks in the gap that supposedly is the rap on him, that's something
right.
he won't do. So I thought the defense, and again, Mark, I can't go all the way with you on this. I don't find anything positive about tonight. I find it definitely more frustrating than positive. But the defense played its best game since Minnesota, and I think that's probably that simple.
And just to also piggyback on what he was saying about Mitch, it's just sad that we say that Mitch played okay, because the level, he did not play very good or very well, but that's what's kind of sad and where we're at of the evaluation of Mitch, and saying, well, he played okay-ish. No, he didn't. He didn't play for him and what he's shown us in the first 2 years or 2 years in this offense. He played okay, but we want more. We need more.
Yeah, it goes back to it being a total offensive breakdown. We can sit back and we can talk about the good things that we saw Mitch do. I saw some good things. I also saw Mitch get outside the pocket and throw some balls in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Saw him throw some balls over some receivers' head. Saw receivers drop balls.
Mm-hmm.
For as much as you want to build on the good things, I'm not sure if the bad's outweighing the good right now. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It
is.
That bad bucket is really full.
That good bucket is like
a little teacup.
But everybody's focusing on what we consider good right now, and even the good sucks.
We're frustrated. The good thing is, at least Mark is probably going to go to sleep easier than most Bears fans. He looks at life positively, and he's not as frustrated as everybody else is tonight.
I'm going to call Mark on the way home.
There you go. Let's see if Chris can be as rejuvenating and refreshing as Mark was. Chris is in Evanston. Chris, how you doing?
Hey, man, I'm just trying to hang in there. Good to see you know what at this point. I mean, I hear you keep saying that, he's a play caller. I give him credit for keeping this team together. I don't hear anybody on this team say a bad word about the coach.
Chris, can I interrupt you for 1 second, Chris, because I just want to be clear. I don't feel right now that Matt Nagy is a good play caller. What I'm saying is that he definitely is a qualified NFL offensive coordinator trying to be a head coach. He knows offense, but I'm not endorsing his play calling right now. I'm just saying I can't do it better, so that's why I don't really focus on that. So I'm sorry.
And
go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I think you're just giving him a little too much credit, Hub, and you're being a little too humble because, we're giving up 17 points a game. We're picked by Vegas, fourth-best team, fourth favorite to go to the Super Bowl. And we can't find a win to save our lives. Last week it was a fourth down call at our own 28. I don't know a qualified offensive coordinator is going to make that call in a 6-0 ball game. And then this week we're all wondering why isn't our quarterback out there. So, I'm lost. I'm just completely lost, and I don't know why this guy has a job in the NFL.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah. And I go back I got to go back to the Mitch Trubisky thing, just thinking about this, that if I'm Mitch, there's no way I'm coming out of that game. And, Kat, you talked about it. The other teammates are going to look at him like, what the heck? You're out of this game? You just played right up to this point?
Right.
It's not like something catastrophic happened that made it that much worse. There's no chance that Chase Daniel, you should believe that there's no chance that Chase Daniel can come in and play better than you. That you believe you give the team the greatest chance to win.
And you saw no argument
on
the sideline.
That's what
bothers me.
None.
No
fight.
F you. I'm going back in there. I'm going to finish this game out with my guys that I started this with. No, nothing.
It seemed to me it was a one-sided conversation.
Yeah.
And then he said, okay, all right, I'll just come out. I'm fine. Okay, I'm okay with that. You shouldn't be okay with that.
No. Not at all.
So here's my theory, Mitch Trubisky, that I mentioned or teased a half hour ago or whatever it was. Well, you guys just set it up. And you know, because I'm out there pretty much every day, you know, was in Bourbonnais every day, been around this kid since the day they brought him in, and been trying to figure out, because when I watch him more in practice really than in games, but you can see it in games too, he's definitely got some skills. There's no question about that. And whether Ryan Pace is a good or bad GM, have that argument another time. He's not a complete idiot. I mean, he didn't use the second overall pick on a guy with nothing, you know, to hope for, to get excited about. And I keep trying to figure out, when I watch Deshaun Watson, when I watch Lamar Jackson, when I watch Patrick Mahomes, what's the one thing they all have in common? They're all having a great time out there. Mm-hmm. And they're not thinking. They're out there playing and reacting. And we hear this conversation all the time about playing fast, about being out there and just playing the game that you grew up playing. So what is it about Mitch that he can't do that? Well, what is it that didn't allow him to beat out Marquise Williams for 2 years at North Carolina, even though he was the better athlete with the bigger arm? And what is it about this kid that they've got him on such a short leash that it's almost like he has to stop before he answers a question to remember what he was told to say? I wonder, I don't know him well enough personally. This is amateur psychology, and this is why I was hesitant, but I've been thinking this for the last 3-4 weeks. I'm beginning to think that he's just really maybe immature for 25 years old. And I hate to use this expression, but maybe even a little bit of a mama's boy, if you will. Mm-hmm. Not the cool guy. I mean, the guy who we all grew up with, who was a great athlete, but was quiet and stayed in the background and never stood out. Because I just don't know that he has the strength of personality, or at least has developed it yet, to be able to lead this football team. Because if I was him, at some point in the last year and a half, I would have gone into Nagy's office and say, you know what? I can't say it on the radio.
Yeah, you know, I know what you're going to say.
Either let me play football or get rid of me.
And let me be me.
Let me go out and play football. Yeah. You know, because they're obviously not doing that with him. And I think that may – now maybe if they do, he becomes Jay Cutler or something. I don't know, you know. But I don't think we've seen the best he's had to offer, because I don't think they're letting him try it.
Or he just doesn't have the personality, like you said, to do that.
I don't know.
And that, to me, is an evaluation problem for Ryan Pace. If you sat down with Mahomes and Watson and Trubisky in a room and interviewed him for a few hours or however you do all that, you should be able to take some of that away and find out which one is the strongest personality, which one can lead a team, which one can lead a media session and handle himself there and answer questions correctly and just be that team leader. And I just don't feel that Mitch is. And I think you're right, Hub, about that personality. I think it's not a strong personality. It's not a guy that commands the room when he walks in there, or you're in the room. Maybe it's different when you're there, but when you watch it online, it doesn't seem like he commands the room. It doesn't seem like he has that presence.
And I'll tell you what, with bringing that up, that's something that you can't fake, especially when you're in a room with 60-something other A-type personalities. They know when you're BSing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can stand up and you can be that front runner and you can yell and, you know, all the coach speak and stuff. But other guys in that locker room, guys in those meeting rooms, see through that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They know when it's genuine and when you're just up there to, look, coach, I can do this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, That's a great point.
I had an interesting exchange with him. I've never really reported this, and it may be nothing. It's not a big thing, but I've been thinking a lot about this the last couple of weeks, and we're going to have to break here, but we'll get back with more calls in a minute. I can't remember if the Colts exhibition was week two or week three, but it was in Indianapolis after the exhibition game, and Mitch, of course, had not played because Mitch doesn't need the practice.
Shot in the dark.
And so it's after the game. And that's not on Mitch, by the way. It's after the game, and Eddie Pinheiro, I forget what had happened. I think he hit a 51-yarder or something. And so he's kind of in the middle of the locker room, and all the media is around him. And I notice that Mitch is coming back to his locker from the shower behind the gangbang, behind the group. And I just walked around the group and I said, "Hey, Mitch, what do you think about the Andrew Luck news?" Because that was the night that, you know, Andrew Luck announced his retirement. And he looked up at me and he gave me kind of a funny. He says, "Oh, I'm not talking tonight." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, I didn't play. I'm not supposed to talk tonight." And I'm like, "Mitch, I don't want to interview you. I'm not asking you to talk. I'm just curious if you had a reaction. You know, one of the great quarterbacks in the league just announced his retirement. He's 29 years old. So I'm not talking tonight." And then one of the PR guys came running over and goes, "Oh, Mitch doesn't have to talk tonight." And I just kind of threw up my hands and walked away. I thought it was just one adult to another saying, "Hey, what do you think, man?"
Just a conversation.
That's how you protect your child, though.
That's what I'm saying.
You see a child talking to somebody in the grocery store, and you're like, "Hey, do you know this person?"
Right.
You know, stranger danger.
That's kind of how I took it, and I just walked away from it, and I thought, I don't want to make a big deal out of this, but I've been watching this develop over the last few weeks, and I can't get my arms around why he seems – he's always uncomfortable. I've never really seen – if you think about it, when was the last time – you know when he was comfortable? After his rookie year, when we did the draft show at Soldier Field,
yeah.
And he came in, he spent about a half hour. He was relaxed. He was working the crowd. Everything was great. I have not seen him comfortable since that
night. But that's a situation, too, just as a professional football player and being who you are, just being yourself. That's when you tell the PR department, "No, I'm good, man. I got it.
I got this.
I'm just talking with Hub here."
Yeah. Well, he doesn't have that security. I mean, he doesn't.
Or they won't allow it.
Or they won't, yeah. Oh, God, that's bad.
Yeah.
It's to all of our audience and to Mitch's family, if you're listening, not really his fault. I mean, nobody's criticizing him. I'm not saying it makes him a bad guy or a bad football player or whatever, but I think it could be a big part of the problem that he's having right now. And somebody probably should address that if you think he is going to succeed.
And if you have a guy right now leading your team that does not feel as though he can speak for himself, that's a lot. Because, I mean, how do you, if I can't speak for myself, how can I come up to you as the leader of that offense and say, you're doing this wrong,
mm-hmm.
or I need you to do this better? You know, you can't come talk to me. you cannot come and talk to me if you're that kind of person.
There was a presser a couple weeks ago, and I think it might have been after the Saints game when they only threw the ball seven times. He didn't play that game. Did he play in that game?
Yes, he did play that.
I think that was. Oh, yeah. And everybody in the media, it was almost like he was petulant, you know, which is a word you use on a child who doesn't want to deal with adults. And so I hope I'm wrong. I hope that the kid comes back next week and throws for 500 yards. But I think we're at the where you got to figure this stuff out.
Be you.
You cannot. One thing that we've established, and I'm very late for a break here. The Bears cannot come back in 2020 without competition at that position.
Oh,
I mean, you know, that's a given.
Yes.
And so you better figure out now exactly what the problem is with this young man and if it can be fixed or not. 312-644-6767. We are back in just a moment here at The Score.
I don't remember much, honestly. I was just super frustrated and disappointed. I just wanted to finish the game and try to do what I could for my team. And I just couldn't really remember much, honestly.
All right, we're just getting sound bites now. That was obviously Mitch. Now I'm trying to figure out what doesn't he remember about? I mean, was it actually your head and not your hip? I mean, you know, I don't know. It's just the more we hear, the more mysterious it gets. 312-644-6767. Actually, guys, you might not want to. Well, you can dial up because we're going to be turning it over to the Grobber in a few minutes. I know he will be anxious to take your calls if we don't get to you. We've just got about 10, maybe 15 minutes left here. We got a full bank of calls, so let's start rolling through them. Robert has been waiting out in San Francisco. Robert, thank you for dialing us up. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm not even angry anymore when it comes to the Bears. I kind of saw this and probably the Raiders game or the Saints game, but I'm wondering why Pace has not taken away play calling duties from Nagy, because we knew since last year he couldn't call plays. I was the one who called last year after the Bears lost to the Giants and asked why Nagy utterly refuses to run the ball in the second half when he had the lead. And you said you didn't know, but he certainly would have won the Giants game. But yeah, didn't they have the lead in the fourth in all four losses last year? And that's kind of the reason why. Shotgun formation on third and short. Shotgun formation on third and manageable. That's why we lost all those games. That's why we lost in the Green Bay the first game. And turns out they were weak as hell when it comes to the run, you know, defending the run. That's it. Why has Pace not taken away play calling duties from Nagy?
Well, Robert, I thank you. Thank you for the call, and I hear your frustration. The general manager-head coach relationship doesn't really work that way. You know, he can hire him and he can fire him, but if you're the head coach, you don't want somebody telling you how to coach the football team any more than the general manager wants the head coach telling him who to draft. So I don't think you'd find that in too many organizations where the GM would issue an edict like that and the head coach would accept it willingly. Guys, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, but you do have to wonder if it's ever been a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And like you said, he can't come in and just say, look, you're not calling plays anymore. I want, you know, such and such to call plays, you know, for any organization. But he can come in, you know, Pace can come in the room and say, look, there's a lot going on right now. And maybe if you took a step back and, you know, let somebody else do the play calling and kind of get the reins on what's going on. You know, your players taking off their helmets after making a tackle, or, you know, flashing signs mm-hmm. after plays. And, you know, these are things that have to be dealt with. These are things that have to be attacked in an aggressive manner. Otherwise, you're starting to talk about teams of old that just kind of ran all over coaches and, you know, had no control. And, you know, this is one of the things that, you know, everyone's talked about, this locker room being, you know, a good locker room.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of guys that get it. You know, a bunch of guys that are, what's the new phrase for good guys in the locker room? What are they called nowadays?
I don't, teammates?
No.
Good Samaritan?
No, I'm sorry. I'm having a brain fart.
That's
here.
All right. But it's late. It's after midnight
character.
Now.
High character
guy. There we go.
High
okay.
character guy. Gotcha. Sorry, I didn't play with a lot of those. But
Monday. It's Monday right now.
Right. But you speak about all the high character guys you have in your locker room, and you know now it seems like you need to get some reins on a couple of them.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that, and then. To go back to the point about Pace and Matt Nagy and their relationship, I'm sure Pace knew that Matt Nagy was going to call the plays when they went through the interview process. And then they talk about now how they're in lockstep. They're great communication with each other. They're buddies. They get along real well. And you're right. You know, maybe I'm sure they sit there and they talk about the situation the team is in right now. They probably go through week-to-week roster decisions and things like that. Is that something that Ryan Pace has brought up to him? Or is he scared to? You know, sometimes, right. Again, we go back to that ego thing that you don't want to mess with your head coach's ego a little bit, or you don't want to step on his toes, but does he feel like he has the right to do it? But it's obviously something that needs to be discussed in Hallis Hall, and it's something that Matt Nagy needs to talk to himself about openly to say, yeah. Do I need to do this? Is this a situation where Andy Reid – is this similar to a situation where Andy Reid has done this before, where he right. gave me the play-calling duties?
Right.
Maybe he calls Andy Reid, because I know he talks to him all the time,
mm-hmm.
and say, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Andy Reid's the one that goes to him and says, why don't you step back just for a little bit? Just worry about your head coaching duties. You've got some talent on your staff as well. Give them a shot.
So, James, the one thing I would say about your comments, I think that Cordarrelle Patterson, you mentioned taking your helmet off after a big hit on a punt return, is a unique weapon who probably has not been used to their full advantage. But there is a reason he's with his fourth team in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you get guys like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think that one is probably that simple. Let's get to St. Charles and hear what Mike has to say. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Hub. Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I am not going to be as positive as one of your previous callers, Mark. And for me, I pretty much got pushed over the ledge with 3 minutes left and Chase Daniel being put into the ball game. And this starts at the top and goes to the bottom, where we have a GM that obviously can't draft the most important position in the game, which is quarterback. He can't evaluate talent when it comes to the quarterback position. We have a head coach who has a my way or the highway mentality and seems to have a brain fart in the most critical moments in games with trickery plays and getting cute. And then we have a quarterback, as you guys were stating before, that it's so brainwashed by PR, by the Bears, that I think the kid's just his confidence is broken. I think Mitch doesn't even know who Mitch is anymore. So my question to you is this. If you're the Bears, how do you restore my faith as a fan? How do you restore confidence in me as a fan that you guys are going to get this right? Because the future does not look bright. I'm
going to
hang up and listen.
Well, Mike, I can answer you real quickly. The only way they're ever going to restore your confidence is to start winning. You can talk about it all you want, you know, and I can promise you if they go out next week and score 40 points and fix a bunch of things and still lose, you're going to still be just as frustrated. So the first thing is that they got to start winning and they got to string some wins. And until then, I just don't see how anybody's going to change where they're at right now.
Yeah, and I feel this frustration. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I feel your frustration, but I can tell you as being a guy that was in a locker room, I really don't care what you think right now.
Yeah.
I've got my own problems.
Right.
I've got my own things I'm trying to figure out. And if you don't want to follow us, if you want to boo, I really don't give a crap right mm-hmm. now. You know what I mean? That's where you're getting to in the locker room. And, you know, to go back to talking about Patterson, you know, when you have individuals like that on your team, everything's fine and dandy when you're winning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to keep those guys underneath a thumb and, look, you've got to do things the right way.
They're the best celebrators.
Right, right, exactly, exactly. But when stuff starts to hit the fan
mm-hmm. –
those are the first guys. You better grab that leash and you better hold on tight because you never know what direction they're going to go. They're going to chase a car, chase a ball, chase a squirrel.
Yeah.
You know, you just never know.
Hey, guys, I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson was a key piece in the Patriots Super Bowl win last year. I mean, he was starting running back for 4 weeks, and Bill Belichick has no problem handling things like that when he needs to handle them.
Right.
There's a reason that Cordarrelle Patterson didn't stay in New England.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a little thing. I mean, they overcame it. They didn't give up a score after that. But those are the kind of things that you see from guys like that. Yeah. Let's see. It is Josh out in Batavia. Josh, how you doing?
I'm well, thanks. Hey, I appreciate you taking the call. And I just want to say your perspective, all three of you today, has been awesome.
Thank you.
I've been on hold and angry the whole time. I just wanted to put this out there. Play calling, not going to nitpick. I can't even beat my six-year-old at Madden. Like you said earlier, Hub, like none of us know this. The biggest indictment I think that we have on Nagy is that he ended Trubisky's tenure tonight with the Bears because he made him either a wimp because he couldn't go back in with a bad hip, which Mitch can't seem to remember, or he said that Chase is better at throwing a deep ball or is better at winning a game. That felt to me like just terrible leadership by Nagy of not saying, I know you're nicked up, Mitch. Kwiatkowski is, you know, banged up. Everybody else is banged up. Everybody else has a bad hip. Get back in there. We're down 10. I just felt like he put his most valuable player, quarterback of the Bears, in a position where he can't win in this town because he's going to be in one of those two camps. Does that make any sense to you guys?
It certainly makes sense, Josh. I maybe I'm just bending over backwards here, but I want to wait till they get back in town. I want to talk to all the principals. I want to make sure I understand what happened, but I understand where Josh is coming from.
Sure. Yeah. We can't have any conclusions yet because we just really don't know everything to this story. And I think we will find out. We'll find out if Mitch plays next week. That would be an answer. Does he practice at all next week? Is he truly hurt? Are they dealing with his injury like they do with Adam Shaheen's foot? That all of a sudden he gets benched as a foot injury? I don't know. This whole situation, the PR department did not handle it well, obviously, with their communication with the sideline reporters and everything. Mitch didn't handle it really well in his post-game press conference, and neither did Coach Nagy.
All I'm going to say is it smells funny, dude. That's all I'm going to say. It smells a little funny.
Hey, guys, real quick, only because I've got like 7 texts on it, I want to try and answer you as best I can. A lot of people want to know the play in the first half. They got the running into the kicker. Matt Nagy declined it. I got to go back and look at the tape, but I am 90% sure it was 4th and 6. That wasn't 4th and 5. They still would have been 4th and 1 in their own end. Had to punt again anyway. Of all the things that you can worry about, don't worry about that one. Right. I think he probably got that right, but it may have been one of the only things all night long. Very frustrating, we know, Bears fans, but hopefully you enjoyed, getting it off your chest, venting a little bit with us here tonight. We certainly enjoyed visiting with you. Want to thank Mike Chen. Outstanding job, not only running the board, getting you guys all on the phone, but getting us all the sound producing for us tonight. To all of you for calling, thank you so much. For James, Big Cat Williams, and Patrick Manley, I'm Hub Arkish. We're coming back again next week, guys. We got 6 more games to play. Doesn't matter what the Bears do, and we're going to have fun doing it. So for the best Bears coverage all week long, a Built Ford Tough Monday tomorrow here at The Score, 670 The Score, the only place you want to be. Thank you for being with us tonight. We'll all be talking to you in the next couple days with our regular hits here on The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.